You're listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.
Welcome back to last call, I suppose.
This is our last. Well, definitely. Look at this.
Last call. Yeah. Three beers lined up.
The beers have gotten smaller, so that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. Especially as parched as I am, I've been drinking glasses of water off camera. Eric told me that it's if I'm feeling thirsty, it's because I haven't had enough water already, or that I'm already dehydrated.
Right. And then adding alcohol to it is probably not helping.
So throwing those beers on top of it. But I have been doing my part to try and stay hydrated with non-alcoholic beverages this evening as well. That'll certainly help me out in the morning. We're back again at, welcome back to this last call section on location at Poseidon Brewing Company. And you can again find them at 577 Olivas Park Drive.
777.
777. That's 37. 777. Olivas Park Drive, Unit Q. That's in Ventura, California. You can also find them at PoseidonBrewingCo.com. Also on Facebook page.
Curtis doesn't know.
I was reminded that I had actually, in fact, liked their page earlier today and went through and looked at a bunch of their pictures. Who knows? Sometimes my days get away from me. So we've hit the background of everyone here.
Pretty much. Except for the dog.
Except for the dog. But
that's
And I'm not sure if the dog has all that much to do with the brewing backgrounds, but it is certainly adding to the character of the brewery as we're sitting here. We've talked about kind of what's happening right now in the prep of this whole place, but we haven't talked about even the opening date, or at least the planned opening date, and if you've even had time to think a year down the road, or was that a part of your strategic planning a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road. So I'm going to open that up. Brian, maybe if you want to...
Is the Admiral going to let me have the microphone? All right.
Let's start with the opening date so that we can get that out and so that we can, so that I can show up.
So we can all come back.
Right now, the target open date is August 11th. Scratch food truck is going to be here. And Desserts to Dive For, is that what you said?
Nice.
And Desserts to Dive For is going to be here.
Serving cupcakes out of a hearse.
And you're probably going to have right? somebody at the door to keep everybody out.
I think that's Desserts to Dive For, isn't it?
That's amazing.
Are you going to do a sort of a open house thing, walk around the brewery, or maybe?
Oh, even prior to that, we're going to do like a friends and family event to do some staff training, work out the bugs, point of sale system.
Good idea, soft opening.
Right and all that stuff. So if anybody shows up on that Sunday, that's we're not open. It's just
it's closed.
Friends and family event.
Do not come by.
And then we're shooting for August 11th opening up. Yep.
So is that August 11th on Monday?
Yes. Yes.
Very smart.
Odd day?
No, that's perfect. Just ease right into the week.
Yep. Don't want to get hit too hard, you know?
Yeah.
You will, though, no matter what.
Yeah, you're going to get hit on Monday.
There's going to be plenty of people out there.
I didn't want to overtax the system right away. We kind of want to crawl, walk, run till we get get the staff fully trained up, familiar, and comfortable with the system and stuff.
Now, with the pull we have, there's going to be thousands of people lined up. I can tell that already. Yeah.
So your target is Monday the 11th. That's right around the corner, obviously. I was looking at the tap wall there. How many beers are you guys thinking for that day?
We're thinking we're definitely going to have six beers.
Nice.
Maybe seven, and then we'll have a nitro stout as well. So we're probably looking at like six and a nitro. I like to under promise and over deliver. So we might have 15 beers. I'm kidding. We're not going
to
have 15.
That's the best way to go.
Yeah. That way people won't be mad at us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there'll be growlers. Everything will be ready to go.
We got growler approval, right, Benita?
We did. I did. Excellent. It 2 days ago.
So wait, you have to get growler approval?
Of course, you have to get some kind of approval. Why would Curtis?
every
you have to pay somebody to be able to
label all the ABVs and names.
Growler approval's free.
Wow. All right. Well, I stand corrected. There's a free approval
process. I can't believe somebody's working for free to approve that. That's what I
it must be part of your overall something you've paid or something
your
like that.
Tax.
Yeah. There's something pays for it. But, so do you submit your art? Is that kind of like label approval?
You do label. It's label approval. Oh, it's cool. Growler label approval essentially, and it's the little tags that you have to submit for like each beer and what the ABV is and what the beer name is and that sort of stuff. So.
Excellent.
It's funny because we're going to write it in by hand anyway, right? So
well, yeah,
silly that we'd have to get approval.
Yeah, because you don't want to have 12 different growlers. You're going to have one growler with a tag, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Still be writing it. Well, good. So growlers will be ready.
So August 11th.
August 11th.
Soft opening. And then from, you know, looking to be packed, I'm guessing, by Tuesday, Wednesday.
So Reno will be really busy brewing.
Yeah. Well, I'm preloading beer is what I call it. So we're going to have, I'm going to keg out a batch just for fun because we have six bright tanks, which is actually quite a bit. So nice. We'll have a beer in kegs. Then we'll have six brights full and I'll have three fermenters ready and probably two of which are actually ready to be transferred already.
By that day?
By the opening day. That nice. Way I'll have some stuff kind of backlogged and ready to go. Inventory, if you will. So mm-hmm. we can move that over, get it carved, get it served, get people happy. And then I can brew three more behind
that.
It's
very exciting.
So hopefully we'll have enough. I hope we have enough to stay open for...
Jason brings up a controversial
this
issue.
This just in.
About growler fills, yeah. Some places have taken the stance, you know, the law has been... It's not really... It hasn't changed. It's just been clarified about, you know, you can put a label over somebody else's growler. Jason wants to know, are you guys going to fill only your growler right now? Or are you going to put a sticker over? Can people bring other people's growlers?
I don't know about these two, but I definitely think we can... do other people's growlers. I think by law, though, we do have to cover it with black tape, so there's no visible label whatsoever from the other brewery.
I would say put that procedure on the growler owner.
Yeah.
We will fill your growler if you come in with it taped up already.
And please clean your growlers, too. It would be great if we didn't have to soak all the mold off them.
Just buy a Poseidon growler. It's going to look great in your collection of growlers.
But it's been in my car for a week. It should be clean,
for growler
right?
cleaning.
I don't know. Maybe we should talk about this off the air, but I think Surf did something brilliant when they opened, and they did a trade in your growler day, which was bring other people's growler. That was before this clarification, but bring somebody else's growler, get it off the street, get into their collection, and then they gave you a discount on their growler. And so they had a full table of all these growlers. People had just, and I think they kept some of the more obscure growlers and put them up. It was really cool. It's like, you know, weird stuff from other states and things like that. So. Very smart on their part. They got, you know, other people's growlers off the street.
I think I'd do it as long as it wasn't local growlers.
Get the weapons off the street.
If it's not
street.
From a brewery within 100
that's a good idea.
Miles,
something
I would be okay with it.
Outside of 100 miles, I like
that. In 100 miles, I'd feel terrible because, you know, we are such a cool little community.
No. That would be great, though. Like, yeah. Or maybe even out of state. Just keep it, like, really obscure.
Or out of county even would be fine or something. Out of state's even better, though.
Out of state would be more challenging.
I don't want Sierra Nevada coming
after
us. I think
Jason's got some out of state growlers. His wheels are spinning. He's like, I got some.
Oh, yeah.
Good. All right. Well,
so we're opening up. Looking a year from now, I mean, was this a part of your plan? I mean, everything up to this point has been, every little detail has been thought out and double thought. What about from here, from this point forward? What's your process from here?
Definitely always thinking about, like, as we talked earlier, economies of scale and more the bang for the buck, and always in the back of the mind is growth and expansion. So we've actually looked into maybe swapping out our immediate growth and expansion would be to swap out the 7-barrel tanks for 15-barrel tanks. Reno had a good idea. They're about the same size, just a little bit taller, so they still fit under the auger system. So that'd be the first for growth and expansion. And then other than that, you know, we'll see where it takes us. I mean, I would really like to bump up to a larger production facility, like 10-15-barrel brew house somewhere, and if the market's there for it. So.
Excellent. This is a totally biased question, but a lot of places, like, I know I keep using Surf, but they're just my best example of, you know, like a producing brewery, not a brew pub or anything like that. Kind of like you guys, they told us they completely underestimated their tasting room and how popular that was actually going to be for them. And so you obviously are a great planner. Have you planned in some distribution, or is it all going to be tasting room? And I'm saying biasedly because I want some beer on tap. but it's, you know, we like
hidden
to ask
agendas,
all the
man hidden agendas, but it's, but not, we, hidden, I guess it's open now, huh?
we like to ask all the breweries that, I mean, are you, you know, planning, because Institution had to actually, like, scale back because they were selling so much beer at the tasting room.
Again, I guess it's what the market demands, but we were shooting for, and these are really rough numbers, like 80 sales in the tap room, maybe 20 on a couple key locations out in town. Because it goes back to that economy of motion type thing. You know, you got to get the keg, clean the keg, fill the keg, right. Sell the keg, go drop off the keg, bring the keg back, clean the keg. And so it's a little bit of...
Wait a minute.
We will have a couple kilo cases out in town.
I didn't know that was a touchy subject.
You forgot all the paperwork that goes along with distribution.
The paperwork with the distribution.
The brewing, too.
Right.
Yeah. And the brewing.
Right. So, everything has everything has something you have to do for it. You're
so,
right.
I mean, I think to start with, like, we just kind of wanted to notch off. Like, I mean, literally didn't even think we'd be able to sell growlers when we opened because of the turnaround time for, like, label approval. And we got that just in the nick of time, you know? And so, I mean, I think our next thing is to check off the, like, malt beverage price schedule, some form, something, something, something for the ABC, and, you know, like, do the keg collars and that sort of that sort of stuff.
Everybody's reading the sign. You can go ahead and
this just
then
spousal employment.
We didn't define
relationship.
Wait, oh, so... Wait, so Jason knows something that
here's the relationship. She's in charge. I just do what I'm told.
Is that what you meant?
Okay. I think Reno signed on for that today too. Just tell me where you want the paper towel holder, and I'll screw it into the wall.
Nice, excellent. Yes,
ma'am. As we like to say in the Navy, salute and execute.
So I'm really, really laid back and totally easy to work with, and you make me seem like I'm like the Nazi tyrant.
Self-awareness needed. Self-awareness.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate that question.
This is not Das Boot or anything like that.
Well, let's come back to these beers here. Yeah. We'll take that. We'll take that as our
good segue.
Jason, so put away the whiteboard.
Last night we got to enjoy the grapefruit IPA.
Yes, thank you.
You know, and what I really, really appreciated about that last night is how solid it was for as young as it is, and looking forward to tasting that in a couple weeks. You know, as everything has time to kind of sit and meld and everything else. It was a fantastic beer, especially when it was paired with the little Lilikoi passion fruit spread that was
so
on
fancy,
top of it.
Lilikoi.
Well, it's the Hawaiian term for it. But it's I mean, if you're looking for a really great beer pairing suggestion with that, taken from the Barrel House beer pairing with you last night, Lilikoi on anything, and then put this beer together. They come together really well.
Definitely something tropical and citrusy. That's like the perfect pairing for that beer.
It was such a perfect pairing.
Anything like that,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Coming to the rye. So you know, we've had. I'm just drawing from my memory of the grapefruit beer last night, and it wasn't as because of the grapefruit, the rind and maybe the oils a little heavier mouthfeel, whereas the other two beers that we've had tonight were really crisp. I'm thinking that one would have been an interesting contrast between what we've had. But then coming back right to this rye again, where it's this really nice rye. I just love the way rye dries out a beer. And so
this is a rye pale?
Rye pale. And it's on the low end. You know how, like, I'm sure you guys have noticed, anything with hops in it has been going up and up in ABVs and IBUs over the course of the last, I don't know, 5-10 years. This is 5%, more like 4.95%. Actually, even kind of lower on the hops. We wanted this beer to be kind of crisp, dry, crushable, and always bring you back for another pint. And the one that, you know, a guy can stop in, have a pint, and then not feel like he has to wait a while to get in the car. So It was one of those ones we designed. Once again, Brian and Vinny's recipe that got scaled for the brewery. So.
Well, I love rye IPAs, but I love rye pale ales for that concept. I mean, and just that it's a lot of times you can bring those in lower IBUs because of the rye that helps to bring it down. It makes it a more approachable. And then you don't the spices aren't being covered up by a heavy alcohol. You know, you start to get to 6%, and you're not aware of the alcohol, but it's there and it's doing something to your palate. It's covering up some of those subtle rye notes that are so great in a 4%, the 4-5% range rye sessionable beer.
I totally agree. Right. Yeah.
Then you start hopping it up more to compensate, and then all of a sudden you're 7%.
Well, and I certainly enjoy Hop Rod Rye, which comes in at whatever it is, you know, 8%. Yeah. So I mean, I can go on both ends of those scales, but to Reno's point, you know, being able to come in, drink it, and then go home.
Phenomenal job on scaling that thing up.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate that.
Spot on.
And awesome. Then we've got a stout too, and
this is Vanita's pick,
and
ladies' choice.
Ladies' choice.
So tell us about the stout real quick, Reno.
Okay, so the stout in this case, once again, it was Brian and Vanita's recipe. That's the reason I was hired. I came in, kind of make sure that all the home brewing, their greatest hits of home brewing, would be thrown into the brewery. So what's great about this recipe is, once again, it's low in alcohol, but it doesn't taste like it.
No.
It's got a huge body, great head retention, probably the best of all of our beers. I know it's been sitting here for a while, but when you first pour it, it's got this creamy...
Oats?
No oats in this beer.
Just regular.
Yeah, it's crazy. So the recipe is very simple. I'm not going to talk about it because it's the brewery's trade recipe. Trade secret. Yeah.
Secret. Trade secret.
Yeah. And then really interesting notes of coffee. I get a lot of espresso, dark chocolate, and then a little bit of spice in the background. And the only change that I made when I scaled it is we wanted it to be an American stout. And its IBU range was a little bit low, so I bumped up the IBUs by about 10 to get it just into the American stout category. So you could taste a little bit of the hops in there, too. Mm-hmm. So
the espresso is my favorite part of this. That the hint of just a freshly, whatever it is, espresso.
Brewed.
Espresso, whatever the technical term is for pouring an espresso.
Probably knows, but...
My favorite. So we did the wit, we did the rye,
grapefruit,
the stout.
If you're in the amber,
the nitro, the probably.
Amber.
Oh, the amber.
And then you have a nitro version of this.
So we got a nitro version of this. We wanted to accentuate the creaminess of the beer, and also what's funny though, I found the ones I've tasted it, is you start getting some of the more high end notes in that nitro that you didn't get out of the carbed version. Mm. So it's kind of a nice way to taste them side by side. Maybe when we open. And we can have a little taste after the session, of course, too, if you guys want.
Explain the high-end notes. I'm curious what you're...
So when I say high-end, I'm always thinking of stouts. I think when it comes to the malt profile, of course, in my opinion, this is just an opinion, the most complex of the malt profiled beers. So you get a lot. You starts one way and it changes throughout the beer. It's kind of like a nice glass of wine. So when I say high-end, I mean you're starting to get like the sweeter, the honey notes, the things that are going to get covered up by the carbonation itself. Mm-hmm. Sweeter, rounded, malty, toasty, things like that.
Yeah, nitro beers are just beautiful for pulling out those malty flavors as well, you know, and just smoothing everything out. And
yeah, it's amazing what the difference of between carbonation and nitro. And it's more like that simulating, for people that don't really know what the hell does that mean, it's actually just simulating cask conditioned beer. You know, it's really... simulating something that you would get out of a cask, but without all the stuff that you have to do.
A soft carbonation, making sure that when the beer leaves the brewery and gets to you, that it's still in shape to be poured, that it's still a fresh beer.
Now, how was your experience doing a nitro? Because you don't carbonate it the same way, right?
Yeah, so I'll just go ahead and spill the beans on how we do it, at least in the small scale. This isn't how a big brewery would do it, but since we're a small handcrafted brewery, we can do it this way. So what I'll do is when I transfer the beer over to the bright tank before I carbonate it, I'll just pull out a keg or two, however many that Brian Vanita want me to. Mm-hmm. And then I have a whole separate unit that I built. It's very simple. It's just a hose of nitrogen in a tank, and it's literally home brewing style. I just put head pressure on it, maybe give it a shake or two in the beginning, and just leave it. And so it'll just push that nitrogen right into the beer. So I'm carbonating the beer separately from the nitrogenated beer.
Is this the regular beer gas mixture, like an 80-20 kind of mix, or this is just straight out nitrogen?
This is straight up nitrogen. So it'll give you that nice kind of, I don't know what you call it, like English, almost flat beer, like a Guinness, and then a nice, creamy top on it. And you can go ahead and you can do the different blends. You can even buy a blending unit, but at least for now, we're just going to start with the straight up 100% nitrogen and see how it does. So.
Fabulous. So those are the six beers that we'll get when you're opening that people can...
The double IPA. Yeah, so that's not even done yet. We are going to probably dry hop it tomorrow, the day after. And we've got, you know, another 7 to 10 days, so it'll be perfect. It'll be dry hopped. It'll be carbonated, probably nice and clear by that point, ready to be drank. So.
When you dry hop in the serving tanks, are you putting those in a bag and you're going to pull them out, or will you just let them sit there for the life of that
No, yeah, I don't. When it comes to the cold side, yeah, you don't want to use bags at all. Hot side, maybe for weird things like things that'll clog your heat exchanger because it's kind of small. When it comes to surface area exposure to the beer, it's better just to dump the dry hops right in there, and just go ahead and deal with the fact you're gonna have to clean a really dirty tank later on.
Right.
So.
Well, I was just thinking
a big dirty tank.
Right. Well, you know, on the homebrew level, on my 5 gallon tanks, I have the lids that have a little tab that's been welded to the bottom. So then I just put those in. So as I get down to about the 3 gallon mark, the beer's actually being pulled out of it. So that, because sometimes on the homebrew level, sometimes I can have that sitting for 2 months, and then it becomes kind of grassy like. But
oh yeah, you don't want to leave the hops on too long.
So.
Yeah.
So then,
too much dry hopping.
So will you transfer that then? So then what you say is you'll leave them on there and then you'll transfer out of that tank into another one to get it off of the hops?
Exactly. So we're fortunate enough, we're not using unit tanks. We have conical unit tanks, of course, which is what most breweries use, but we're not using a pressurized or pressure treated fermenter. So in this case, we have bright tanks that are separate. So that gives us the advantage of dry hop.
So you dry hop
it. I dry
fermenter.
Hop it in the fermenter and then I go ahead and use it. We have a racking arm inside so I can pull it off all the tube at the bottom.
Okay.
And I'll just pull that beer right off nice and clear and send it right over to the bright, and I can leave all the hops behind.
Okay.
All right.
And then clean.
And then clean that. And that's you're pretty much soaked by the time you're done cleaning one of those tanks too, because it's so full of hops. Mm-hmm. But it's worth
excellent.
It.
Right. And so those will be the 6 beers that we're going to.
That was awesome.
We've got, when they come in, you've got several different types of glassware. You've got the tasters, you've got mini pints, full pint glasses, I'm guessing, snifter or tulip style glasses.
And an imperial pint.
And an imperial pint. So nothing like a 20-ounce pint, I guess, right?
And branded glasses. So everything will be available on August 11th to take home.
Glasses for sale, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
some we'll see how it goes.
Right.
You may have no glasses left on
hold
Tuesday.
Off, right. Hold off on the tulip glasses.
there'll be no more. I think that's a perfect place to wind down. Is there anything you guys want to say that we missed, or anything you guys want to? I mean, I obviously want to promote your opening. Follow on Facebook, right, to keep up to date with new beers and opening date.
I would just say we're happy to be here, part of the local beer experience. Give back to the community a little bit. We're going to participate in a couple of outreach programs, and we're looking forward to it.
And I think we have to say we're doing Poker's Porter, which is going to probably be our like benefit sort of, you know, fundraiser tab that, you know, we'll change it up. It'll be Poker's Porter with bacon and maple. It'll be Poker's Porter with whatever, but you know,
his own beer.
Like, I mean, Poker's is our little rescue dog, you know, that he wouldn't have survived if it hadn't been, you know, like, I mean, or a lot of the other dogs that are in his position wouldn't have survived if, you know, that wasn't for all of the local organizations. So I think, you know what, like, I mean, I'm the animal lover. I think we all are to some degree, but, you know, I think like, and we'll definitely do our other, you know, like, you know, benefit things and stuff. But I think the little animal causes are going to be ours. But we just thought Poker's Porter has a nice ring to it. So.
That sounds
so I think looking forward to that. And then I think looking forward to starting like a, you know, cask sort of, you know, program, whether we do the actual firkins that you tap into, the little, you know, or we do like a little bit more of like the nut, can't even describe it, like the other system we were talking about doing, where, you know, it kind of mimics like you pull it, but you know, that sort of thing. So I think, you know, and then probably looking at some barrel aging too. Not, I will say one thing, like, don't be looking at us for sour beers. We're
keep that out of this area. Out of this vicinity.
We're paranoid like about infection.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Sour beers need their own separate facility. Yeah, yeah, maybe that's in the future, but for now, we'll probably do barrel aging without the sour. And maybe even keep some separate hoses and components only for those barrel aged beers, so we don't have any cross contamination. But
right.
And that's just a fear thing, you know.
No,
one more closure. I would just like to say thanks to everybody. I feel like the community has really welcomed us with open arms, and from you guys coming out and doing the show, and then from Lisa from Ventura County.
Lisa McKenna.
Yep. Lisa's done some phenomenal articles for us, and for hooking us up with Barrel House for the recent event. I mean, oh man, it's been phenomenal. It's been a wild ride so far, and I hope we keep it up. And I appreciate everybody's efforts for helping us out. And
beer
getting us up and running.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. All kinds of good stuff coming up. So we'll let you guys open, and then we'll come back and bug you guys for stuff. So you guys got a big, 10 days coming up ahead, 11 days coming up ahead of you. Thanks for letting us come in here. Like,
definitely
in the on the ground floor level. This is awesome, and you know we built a couple of chairs. I could say that now.
Right, I know.
And get ready for deep fried Twinkies at next year's fair. And
I like his spirit. He wants to win this thing. I'm with
deep fried Twinkies with bacon. All right.
There it is. Well, Brian, Vanina, and Reno, thanks so much for having us come in, letting us come in. And I know that you're so incredibly busy that just makes us even more special that you took the time to hang out with us this evening and share your beers.
Top to bottom. Well, thank you all today. So we are honored. Come on. I rolled out the red carpet.
So
except no carpet because it's a liability. Someone's gonna trip on.
Right. Nothing you can trip on.
Yeah. Nothing you can trip.
I like that you have learned all the different codes and rules. That's awesome. Yeah. Just in your brain now. It happens. It's always gonna be like that. Right.
Everybody is a liability.
Facebook Poseidon Brewing Company / Poseidon Brewing Company. We talked yesterday. No Instagram yet. Twitter, all that stuff's coming soon.
I just put up a bunch of Instagram photos tonight.
PoseidonBrewingCo.com. Make sure you go on there
and
check it out.
But you shared them on Facebook, so we're good.
That's it. That's true. I did.
And yeah, definitely come by and see them August 11th. Don't come before that because it's not going to be open.
Right.
Right.
And yeah, and bring your friends when you do come in on August 11th. I think, good luck on the slow opening. I don't think that's going to happen for you. but that's a good plan. But that's a good thing to have.
Don't be worried.
It reminds me of like Mike. What
you all can do crowd control. You
right. That's
just
like I will be happy to help. I will be
just
happy to help.
Stand on this side, and I'll keep you supplied with beer and keep everybody.
Just tell us how many people are supposed to be in here. We'll just
not like Mike Tyson's a good person to quote,
sure,
but he had a good one. It's like
posted.
He's like everybody's got a good plan until they get punched in the face. We'll see how we like chuck a job off of that one.
That's perfect.
If I could do an impersonation,
I think
you
want to do a Mike Tyson, but you're not going to.
It would never happen. Right? It wouldn't sound good.
All right. Well, thanks again, guys. Appreciate it. It's happy hour with Toby and Curtis.
We'll catch you next time.
Pleasure.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, thanks for listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. If you like this podcast, make sure you like us on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook under Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. Give us a like and share it with all your friends. We'd appreciate it. Cheers!